Well, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. What a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. It's Pastor Joshua M. Daniels of the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, located at 1300 East 50th Street, Los Angeles, California, 90011. And I'm excited to share the word of the living God with you. Mount Zion is a church where change happens every week. And if you're ever in the Los Angeles area, we invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. for a life-changing worship experience. You might come one way, but we promise you won't leave the same way you came. We pray that this message that you're getting ready to hear is going to be a tremendous blessing to your life. It's up from here. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to commence, conclude, and climax our reading tonight with one verse, verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 1 tonight. So, Lord, it's preaching time. I'm in dire need of you. You know the frailties of my flesh, so I ask that you stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my tongue. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon me. Anoint me afresh and anew for the assignment at hand. Give your people listening ears and receptive hearts, but ultimately responsive lives. And Father, if any good things shall happen today, let no flesh be glorified and no humanity celebrated, but you take all of the glory. Just give us your divine blessings. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and ask it all. If you love the Lord, you ought to say amen. I want you to know, I don't know who this word is for tonight, but the Lord, I feel assigned to share this word tonight, and I pray that it is a blessing to you as it has blessed me. 1 Samuel chapter 16, just one verse, verse number 1. I'm reading tonight from the New International Version of the Word of God. It may read slightly different from yours, but if your book says Bible, you're in good company. This is how my Bible reads. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Somebody say amen. That's enough for us to chew on tonight. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul?" Tonight, I want to tag this text with this thought in our minds. Let that go. Will you find a neighbor to the left to the right? If you don't like him, you should have sat down too late now. And tell him, neighbor, let that go. That's the wrong neighbor. Find somebody else and tell them, neighbor, let that go. Lift that hand towards heaven and say, Lord, speak. We need to hear. You may be seated in the presence of our good and gracious God. Let that go. Let that go. Now, I'm going to start off by saying that I have a horrible habit of getting late, being late to the airport. Do this because I do not like sitting in the airport. I have status with the airline of my choice, and I've got access to the lounges, but I don't want to sit in any lounge because I don't want to sit in the airport. I want to be able to go where I need to go, and that's that. So I have a tendency to go to the airport late, but of course, this habit can be problematic at times. Because there are times when I don't factor in time the way that I should. Even times I leave later than I should, or sometimes I run into unforeseen traffic that causes me to show up to the airport even more late than I anticipated. I had one of these experiences happen to me last week while I was in Houston. I was on my way back, and I needed to catch an earlier flight to get back so that I could check on my wife and my family. The fact that my flight was early only intensified how much I did not want to sit in the airport. So I planned to get to the airport about 45 minutes before my flight. I could drop my bags off, breeze through the clear, and arrive at my gate by the time the boarding would begin. But I did not factor in that there was going to be an accident that would delay my getting to the airport. So I arrived at the airport 30 minutes before my flight took off. Needless to say, I was rushing through the airport because at the end of the day, I was done with Houston and I needed to get to Los Angeles. Because I'm rushing through the airport, I decided I was going to get on one of those moving walkways. Because in my mind, the fact that the walkway is moving speeds up my walking. While I was on that walkway, I could not help but to get frustrated because I got stuck behind a guy who was standing still on the moving walkway. Y'all, this upset me to no end, not just because he was slowing down my progress, but was upsetting to me because I couldn't understand why he was standing still on the moving walkway. After all, it's the moving walkway. The very name suggests you shouldn't be standing still. And yet, here it was. I was trying to leave from where I no longer needed to be. And I was delayed from getting where I needed to go because I was behind somebody who was standing still when they should have been moving forward. Y'all, when I got to my seat on the plane, the Holy Ghost started messing with me. And the Holy Ghost said to me, Joshua Daniels, what you just experienced in the airport is what a lot of people are experiencing in actuality. Because too many of us are stuck when we should be moving forward. And there is nothing worse than being designed to go forward, being destined to go forward, being directed to go forward, but being delayed from going forward because you're stuck where you no longer need to be. That's what's happening in the text. Cedric Morgan, the Bible in your hand says, God has fired Saul. According to 1 Samuel chapter 15, God regrets making Saul king. The chapter closes saying that God was sorry that he had made Saul the king. King Jimmy said he repented of making Saul the king. And Dr. D. Samuel tells Saul in 1 Samuel 15 that because you have rejected the commands of God, that God has rejected you from being king over Israel. And the Bible in your hand says, chapter 15, verse 35, that Samuel grieved Saul. Let the church shout, grieved. He grieved Saul. He mourned Saul. Now that word here for grieve, friends, does not just describe the inner feelings of the mourner. Rather, it describes the outward behavior. This is clear because in the ancient mourning customs of that day, it included one putting on sackcloth, sprinkling dust and ashes on the head, lying on the ground and shaving the beard and the hair of all of the head. This means, friends, Samuel is not just sad. He's going through it. He's grieving Saul as if Saul were already dead. When we get to our text tonight here in 1 Samuel 16 and 1, God says to Samuel, hey, Samuel, you got to let that go. God asked him, how long are you going to grieve over Saul? It's as if God says to Samuel, I know that Saul meant and means a lot to you, but you've got to let that go. Why? Because I'm ready to move on to what's next. In other words, God says, Samuel, you can't stay stuck when I'm trying to move you forward. God is saying to Samuel, you got to let that go because while you can't bury the past, I'm already working on the future. Can I tell you why I'm preaching this tonight? I'm preaching this tonight because all of us got a Saul. For some of us, we got more than one. But all of us have something that God is saying to us tonight, that God is saying to us tonight, that it's time for you to let that go. Because here's the thesis for my little sermon tonight. God cannot move you into your next until you're willing to let go of what was so that you can see what will be. Did you hear what I just said? That's my whole little thesis for this sermon tonight. God cannot move you into your next until you're willing to let go of what was so that you can see what will be. And I know what you said tonight. I know what you said. You said, now hold on, bro, pastor. I don't have a Saul. This ain't the United Kingdom. I ain't got no king. I serve the King of Kings. I know what you're saying. But I want you to understand tonight that Saul was much more than just a king to Samuel. Just like Saul could represent many different things to us. See, Mama Arnold, Saul can represent a season. Saul represents one season of Israel's history, but not the total story. Saul can represent your last season. He can represent the past and where you've been. And when seasons change, you can find yourself grieving a past season. Saul doesn't just represent a season. Saul could represent someone significant. Because Saul was like a son or a mentee to Samuel. Was someone significant to Samuel. And when you've been hurt by someone significant, it'll cause you to grieve. But Saul doesn't just represent a season, someone significant. Saul could represent something special. Saul was the king, the first king. This was special to Samuel. And when there is something that has been special to you that you lose or that doesn't turn out the way you hoped or expected, it'll make you grieve. Saul doesn't just represent a season, a someone significant, a special something, but Saul could also represent a selection. Because ultimately, a king wasn't what God chose for the people. A king is what the people chose for themselves. And sometimes you can grieve a choice that you made that you wish you never, I know I'm preaching in here tonight, that you wish you never would have made. And I don't know what your Saul is tonight, but here's the thing. God is not saying you can't grieve, Saul. God is just saying that there comes a time when you've got to let that go so that you can move on into what God has for you next. Why? Because you'll never get to David as long as you're crying over Saul. And can I tell you why I'm preaching this tonight? Because God sent me here to let somebody know that your next is ready and waiting for you, but you will never walk into your tomorrow until you first let go of yesterday. Can I tell you why I'm preaching this? I came to preach to some people. Turn me up in my monitors, Rob. I came to preach to some people who have been dealing with disappointment, stuck in sadness, grappling with grief, arrested in anger, and hanging on to hurt because the things that didn't work and stuff that didn't go according to plan and people who hurt you and people who abandoned you and the foreclosure and the repossession and the divorce and the layoff and the molestation and the death of a loved one and the arrest and the time you spent in jail and the business that closed and the deal that fell through and the child that didn't turn out right and the relationship that blew up and the car accident that wasn't your fault and the doctor's diagnosis that wasn't fair and the process that didn't go your way and the job that didn't pick you and the school that rejected you and the promotion you were passed over for and the dream that died and the goal that you didn't accomplish and the weight that you gained and the addiction that your battle and the shame of the past. And I don't know what has had you up at night. I don't know what's got you pacing the floor. I don't know what's got you not eating and stuck and not progressing. I don't know what your Saul is, but tonight God says let that go. God told me to tell you that your tomorrow is so much brighter than your yesterday. Your tomorrow is so much bigger than your yesterday. Your tomorrow is so much better than your yesterday. Let that go. Let the unforgiveness go. Let the bitterness go. Let the grudge go. Let the anger go. Let the pain go. Let the frustration go. Let the rage go. Let the anger go. Let the desire for vengeance go. Let the fear go. Let the shame go. Let it go. Why? I know they hurt you, but let that go. I know they lied to you, but let that go. I know they lied on you, but let that go. I know they wanted to see you fail, but let that go. I know they still want to see you fail, but let that go. I know they don't mean nothing good for you, but let that go. Why? Because God can't bless you with your future while you're still crying over your past. And some of you think tonight that because you aren't crying about it anymore means you're not consumed with it anymore. But I came to tell you, as long as it still bothers you, you got to let that go. Because here's the shout. Here's the shout tonight. If you can get over Saul, you can get to David. I know. That's real simple, huh? That's really all I came to tell you tonight. If you can get over Saul, you can get to David. If you can let Saul go, God can let David come. And God sent me here to tell you tonight, he ain't holding you back. You holding you back. Because you too busy holding on to Saul. And God is ready to move you on to your next. But the question is, will you be willing to let go of Saul so that God can give you your David? So here's the take-home truth, and I'm almost in my seat. Here's the take-home truth tonight. Y'all ain't got to like this. I know I'm preaching.com in here. Here's the take-home truth tonight. You can't embrace your tomorrow until you fully let go of yesterday. That's all I came to tell somebody tonight. You cannot embrace your tomorrow until you fully let go of yesterday. So here's the question. So how do I do it? How do I let go of Saul? Anybody interested? Three things. I'm only going to be in verse 1 tonight. Three things I see in verse 1. It's right there. Let's just let the Bible preach to us tonight. The text teaches us if we're going to let Saul go, there's three things we got to do. Here's the first one tonight, Faith. The first thing you got to do is you've got to release what God has rejected. Will you say that with me tonight? Say release what God has rejected. All right, let me cut across the field because y'all don't like me tonight. Let me cut across the field like this and tell you, you will never get to where God is if you cannot leave where he was. I just said something in here. I said you'll never get to where God is if you cannot leave where he was. Too many times we are so in love with our history that we cannot get where God is headed. And here's God's word for somebody tonight. There is nothing about your future that is behind you. Everything that God has for you is in front of you. And you've got to learn how to release where God was so that you can join him where he is. Can I show it to you in the text? Watch the text says, God asks Samuel a question that he follows up with a statement. Here's what he says. God says, Samuel, watch it, Chris. God says, how long will you mourn for Saul? Since I have rejected him. Now these few words carry so much weight because they make us ask at least two questions. Here it is. Question number one is, why has God rejected Saul? But I don't think any of us want to end up on that list. Told you chapter 15 ends saying that God repented or God was sorry that he made Saul king of Israel. And I must admit to you that I never want God to say that about me. I never want God to say that he was sorry that he blessed me, that he was sorry that he favored me, that he was sorry that he graced me, that he was sorry that he placed me. I don't want God to reject me. So why has God rejected Saul? Why is God sorry that he made Saul king? Well, when you go back to chapter 15, you'll discover at least three big problems that Saul had. Notice, first of all, he had a problem with perception. Everybody say insecurity. It said, 1 Samuel 15, verse 17, Samuel tells Saul, he says, here's your problem, Saul. You're too small in your own eyes. He says, Saul, the reason you keep doing stupid stuff is because you don't know who you are. Y'all don't want to help me preach. And some of you, the reality of it is, you would start making better decisions if you saw yourself right. You wouldn't need to pray for so many miracles if you saw yourself right. You wouldn't get in so many messes if you saw yourself right. You wouldn't settle for so much if you saw yourself right. You wouldn't go on certain dates if you saw yourself right. You wouldn't accept certain jobs if you saw yourself right. Some of us, the problem is perception. That ain't his only problem. He's got a problem with perception, but he's also got a problem with partial obedience. I'm still in 1 Samuel 15, verse 18 through 22. Look what happened. Samuel tells Saul, he said, here's your problem. God told you to go destroy the Amalekites. God told you to go destroy everything. Look what Saul said. Saul said, hold on, no. I did what God told me to do. I went to battle and I killed him. He said, no, you did a piece of it. See, what you decided to do, Saul, was you decided to take the good stuff. You decided to take the best animals. You decided to take the best of the silver and the gold. And you decided that you was going to keep the king alive. And you decided that you was going to play spiritual. And that because you decided that you was going to sacrifice one of the bulls, that God was supposed to forget that he told you to kill it and not sacrifice it. And Paul and Samuel tells Saul, he says, is not obedience better than sacrifice? He lets him know, here's your problem. You've had partial obedience, and partial obedience is still total disobedience. That when God tells you to do something, you can't pick and choose what part you want to do. Either you're going to obey all of it or none of it. All right. He's got a problem with perception. He's got a problem with partial obedience. Here's the other problem he got. He got a problem with people pleasing. Notice he admits it. It's in 1 Samuel 15, 24. Saul says, here's why I did that. He said, because I feared the people instead of obeying the voice of God. Saul's problem is that he would rather make people happy than God happy. Don't look at Saul like that. Because how many times have you been more concerned about the smiles of people than the obedience of God? Notice, because of his perception problem, because of his partial obedience problem, because of his people-pleasing problem, ultimately, he wastes his potential. Because Saul never quite lived up to who God wanted him to be. And friends, whenever your perception is off and you struggle with partial obedience and pleasing people, ultimately, you will waste your potential and cause God to reject you. But that's only one question. The second question becomes, not just why did God reject Saul, but Skylar, here's the second question. So how long has Samuel been mourning? Because for God to come and say, how long will you mourn, suggests Samuel's been doing it for some length of time. Now in the Bible, we see different times of mourning. In the scripture, we saw mourning for 7 days in Genesis 50. That's what Joseph and his brothers do after Jacob dies. We see 30 days in Deuteronomy 34. That's what happens with Israel after Moses dies. We even see the words many days in Genesis 37. That's what happens to Jacob when he thinks that Joseph has died. And some customs of the day suggest that a period of mourning could last for up to 3 years. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though, Brother Carter. Whether it had been 7 days, 30 days, many days, or 3 years, God said to Samuel, it's been long enough. Y'all don't want to have no church. God says, I don't know whether you've been doing 7 days, 30 days, many days, 3 years, but the point is, it's long enough. You've cried and you've moped long enough. Let that go and get on to the next. And I love it, because when you put this statement together, it's as if God was saying, now listen, Samuel, I understand your season. I understand you've been mourning over Saul, and I know he was your boy, but although I understand your season, you need to stop for my reason. And here's my reason: I've rejected him, which means my hand is no longer on him, which means my grace is gone. And there's no reason for you to try to keep holding on to what I've already let go of. Because holding on to what I've let go of is the fastest way to end up outside of my will. And I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but that's what God is saying to somebody in this church tonight. God is telling somebody tonight that it's time for you to let go of what God has already let go of. That's why sometimes the greatest danger to your destiny is actually your desires. And God sent me here to tell somebody tonight, he's already rejected that relationship. Release it. He's already rejected that season. Release it. He's already rejected that behavior. Release it. He's already rejected that way of thinking. Release it. Because if you try to hold on to what God has let go of, you will find yourself out of the will of God. But can I tell you something? If you release it, God says he'll release something else to you. And I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I came to tell you that if you can release what God has rejected, then God can release your next level. He can release your promotion. He can release your increase. He can release your harvest. He can release your healing. He can release your more influence, more grace, more favor, more everything. If you can release what God has rejected, he'll release his best for your life. All right. Number two. I let that go by releasing what God has rejected. But here's the second thing I got to do.
If I'm going to let that go, the second thing I have to do is you've got to resume your responsibilities. Everybody say resume,
resume.
Your responsibility.
Your responsibility.
All right. Let me cut across the field because I'm getting hungry. Let me cut across the field like this. Here's the truth. Let's just be real tonight. It's just us as in here. When life happens, sometimes you need a break. After the death of a loved one, you may need a break. After a bad breakup, you may need a break. After a huge financial setback, you may need a break. After a disappointing loss, you may need a break. After you invested your all into something and didn't get the return you expected, you may need a break. And here's the truth tonight. Breaks are healthy. Because some people try to produce over their pain instead of processing through their pain, and then they just end up in more pain. So sometimes you need a break. But here's the truth tonight. You can't break forever. At some point, you got to get back to the business.
Well, listen, we're out of time, but not out of truth. We pray something was said today that is going to change the trajectory of your life forever. If you have never met Jesus Christ before, now's a great time for you to get to know him. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died. Come into my heart. Make me new. I want to live for you. My brother, my sister, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to know that you've been saved, and him who the Son sets free is free indeed. Listen, if you want to learn more about our ministry or you want to give to support our ministry and help us to continue to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with the world, then go to our website, www.mountmtzionla.org. That's www.mountmtzionla.org. We're so grateful to God that you have tuned in, and we hope that your life will forever be blessed. It's up from here.